Downtown Sacramento has had quite a year so far. It seems that every issue facing the nation has shown up in the region's epicenter, downtown Sacramento. Joining us today to talk about recovery and the future are four leaders, all with a stake in what's next. Michael, let's go in the opposite direction. What has been the most promising development for downtown Sacramento in 2020?
You know, obviously there's been a lot of challenges for us, and people have talked a little bit about, the impact in downtown Sacramento, but we really have been focused on a lot of the positive developments downtown. I mean, we've got several hotels under construction. I'm sure Mike's going to talk a little bit from the Convention Bureau about, you know, the doubling of the convention center size. We're still seeing housing downtown in big numbers. People want to be here, and people want to live in the downtown core. And so there's a lot of great projects that are on the horizon. And when this economy does begin to turn, I think you're going to see downtown Sacramento really took advantage of some of the downtime.
Mike, I do want to ask you, you know, the convention center is kind of like a big construction project right now, but what's going on that we can anticipate? And how did the timing affect, you know, all of the work that's going on right now?
Well, it's interesting. You know, I look at my counterparts across the state, and they've all been canceling meetings since March. Sacramento hasn't had that problem because our main meeting venue has been under construction. So whether that was a deliberate stroke of genius on our part remains to be seen. But we fared better than a lot of cities because we haven't had to cancel. And, you know, I think like Michael, we look ahead. We look at what this convention center has already brought us from a booking standpoint and the economics that come with it in the future. So while this year has been tough on everybody, there are a lot of really positive things to look forward to in 2021 and beyond.
Ginger, you are known far and wide for all of the amazing confections that you make. As a matter of fact, I visited a location of yours at one point in San Francisco. You'd expanded out that way. You decided to retrench in Sacramento, but you didn't just retrench. You decided to double down, and you're in the midst of opening up a new location. Tell us your story.
We had to very quickly start doing deliveries. Right when COVID happened. And so we were making 60 deliveries a day. And for a few weeks, I was doing those deliveries myself. And I was just driving around the town, driving past Midtown through Land Park, North Natomas, different areas. And yeah, I was just, I was just inspired looking. I saw everyone kind of out on their lawns, and it was springtime at the time. And I something came over me, and I'm like, this town will take care of me. You know, this town will take care of me as it has. And I don't want to make the drive anymore to San Francisco. So we decided to pretty much move all of our equipment and all of our furniture from San Francisco into a new location on J Street.
And what is it that gave you the confidence to, you know, at this point where so many people are just still trying to hunker down, to go ahead and you know, roll the dice and anticipate that this new location is going to be well received?
Well, I mean, no risk, no reward. So we always have to think that way. And our L Street is very, very busy. Sales doubled for us actually after COVID due to just people wanting ice cream. They doubled, or they were up 50%, 80%, just different numbers every week. And our walk-in freezer, our walk-in refrigerator at our warehouse in West Sacramento, we could barely shut the door on. And so we needed to open another place for more room, a bigger walk-in. And so we opened up this place, but it has a production facility as well. We're doing breakfast pastry, vinoiserie, and those are just things that are up and coming. And I think Sacramento, I just needs more of. And so we're really excited to try it out. Why not? Just a little insanity, but.
Patrick, we talked about in the opening, Sacramento being the epicenter of the region. The BNL is for many of us the epicenter of where it is that we travel to to have a great time and great food. What's been your experience with the pandemic so far?
Well, it's certainly been a challenge, right, with openings and closings and fires and everything. But the experience at the end of the day is we're now dining out on the sidewalk and the patio. And my experience is that people really want to gather again, and they love coming down to the restaurant to Midtown to wander around, to enjoy each other's company. So we know that what I've said before, that when people come to the table and break bread to have conversations, it makes our society stronger. And you see that pent up desire coming out. And so for a lot of us, what we're doing is we're just trying to get through, as Mike and Michael said, get through to the other side, because we see better days coming.
When we look at trying to get through to the other side, Michael, hindsight being 2020, no pun intended, what could we have done better to position downtown and ourselves to deal with the challenges that have been faced this year?
Well, I think if there's one thing that's become clear through this process is people have learned to be more creative than they've ever had to be. I mean, we know, you know, as Patrick said, people currently are desperate to get outside. They've been in their homes for almost 6 months. We stood at the convention center and the Hyatt in January talking about, you know, the downtown priorities, 4 or 5 months ago. And to think fast forward 6 months, the world has totally flipped itself as it relates to people's ability to access. But one of the things that we've realized is people like to be outside. They like outdoor spaces. Restaurants, as Patrick talked about, are being forced to come out on their streets. We don't have a community where a lot of these restrictions, rules, are the easiest to navigate. I think we could be a little more aware of what small business needs and be able to pivot. Simply because we haven't done it before doesn't mean that we shouldn't be able to come out and allow these businesses to be as creative as necessary. But, you know, we're going to be in a situation, if we're not careful, we're going to lose a good percentage of our small businesses because of the inability to access their customers, which is why you're seeing al fresco dining. You know, Ginger talked a little bit about driving herself to deliver a lot of these products. People are desperate to try and find ways to keep themselves open so when we get to the other side. And so I think what we're trying to do is realize small business is what drives this community. It what drives the identity for urban centers like this. And we should have been and need to be more willing and creative to be able to pivot quickly when small businesses need support. We talk a lot in working with the public sector agencies. We need to be able to give them answers faster.
And Scott, I would just add to that, one of the things that have been talked about for years with restaurants is alfresco dining. And that was such a hard thing to get permitted for a variety of reasons. Now that we've seen it in place with water barricades and, you know, kind of this quickly put together thing in the street and the sidewalk, it shows how beneficial it is to Sacramento. Imagine if all these restaurants had already had that outdoor seating built in when this started. We wouldn't have had to pivot the way we did. So I think sometimes things that look difficult on paper in the long run are worth it. You look at European cities, how they all dine al fresco. What's taken us so long in Sacramento to be able to put that in place and make it easy for restaurant owners to build that type of seating?
And when they did, Mike, to your point, it came really quickly, right? So I'm really grateful to the ABC and the city and Congressman's office that all helped do it. But I think the other, what that shows is that the secret of what makes Sacramento resilient is our ability to be magicians. And if you would have asked me in January that there were this many rabbits and to be found in one hat, I would have said no way. But we keep digging them out.
Ginger, are there any decisions yet to be made that are still on the table that would be helpful to businesses like yours that could just make all the difference if they were acted on?
For me, parking is a big one. City did pivot quickly and they did give us some 5 minute to go pickup spots. I think we have one or two, and they literally, it seems like only our customers or our neighbors' customers are parking there. And it's just been really nice. People haven't, it's 5 minute pickup parking, and it's I don't know, it's really been a deal changer for us. And just, I guess that there has been a little more parking down there right now is good. But I think that if that was a program that they could help us out with, you know, having these kind of to-go or pickup or kind of parking spots for to-go orders, it's really helpful.
Well, you know, it's interesting you raised that, Ginger, because one of the things that I have heard around the region is people are still interested in coming downtown, but one of the first things that's raised is the parking situation. And there are two ways to read it. One is that the fact that parking is challenging means that it's a popular area, like downtown San Francisco. On the other hand, is it really driven by popularity that's the difficulty on parking, or is it something else?
I guess I don't know, but all I know is it definitely prohibits us from, I don't know if it prohibits restaurants necessarily, but it definitely prohibits a company like mine where people want to just hop out and grab something and go. I think we personally lose a lot of money every day because there's no parking. And that's another reason why we kind of opened up on J Street, because the complaints come nonstop for us. And so it's good to be popular. It's good to be busy. But at some point people only want to try to find parking for like 5 to 10 minutes and then they're out, you know?
Yeah, Scott, years ago, a prominent developer told me that when people tell him that parking is bad, what he hears is business is good. And what we want mostly is people.
Because I'm trying to figure out the balance. Mike, you deal with these issues all the time, and you touch a lot of the folks that are bringing hotels to town and who bring these events to town. What's the view on what are the ingredients in order to make sure that the businesses are supported and people can get to and from them, but at the same time, we're harvesting what we need to harvest in order to make the investments that need to be made.
Well, I think it's a lot of what you said, Scott, that you accept when you go to a place like San Francisco that parking is going to be tough. And part of that is because of the demand and the number of people there. And I think when the Golden One Center was constructed, that was a lot of the worry, that there's not enough parking downtown. Well, we've seen certainly that the office crowd in downtown clears out by game time, and there's plenty of parking for the Golden One Center. I think businesses like Ginger's are probably different than Patrick's in the sense that they're spending, 2-3 hours at Patrick's restaurant and not as much time at Ginger's because they're coming in and out. So I think it depends on the product, but I do go back to your original statement that, the challenge to get parking shows the vitality of the neighborhood, that there's a lot of people trying to access the services in downtown. And that's, unfortunately a product of success in my opinion.
Michael, I want to ask you, what is the most fragile part of downtown's ecosystem at this moment?
Right now it's our small business owners. I mean, they're holding on. One of the biggest challenges that we've got right now, especially when you look at the small retailers, you look at the coffee shops, the lunch restaurants, we've got about 100,000 employees downtown Monday through Friday. Something that sounds as simple as the governor communicating state employees can work from home through the first quarter of this year means that 40 to 45,000 of those employees probably in large part won't be down here. So when you end up with coffee shops, what Ginger's talking about in the way of small business and pickup, the sandwich spots, these things, it really impacts the ability to hold on long-term for these businesses. Patrick talked a little bit about the start and stop. We'd opened up restaurants to come dining. We had a surge. We closed them back down again. Keeping employees is a real challenge for us down here too. And so, we've got a really fragile infrastructure when it comes down to small business ownership downtown. To think that these people don't look on a month-to-month basis with how they're holding on is really missing that opportunity. And so you've got 100, on when the environment is good, you've got 100,000 employees that are supporting these local businesses. But, people are looking long term and making decisions for their families on what are my customer base going to look like during this next 4 to 6 months. And so we're trying to be as creative as we can in communicating opportunities, go to restaurants, get takeout, go outside dining, but it's probably never been more important to drive that commitment to the local community to support their local retailers and small businesses.
You know, Patrick, one of the things that you spoke to a little bit earlier is just breaking bread and the need for people to be around each other. And I think that all of us, I know I can certainly speak for myself, never realized how much I took for granted just being around other people, people, whether I know them or not, and just being part of a scene. One of the things that Sacramento has become known for is as a destination, and it has a growing reputation as a mecca for great food and drink. How will the lingering effects of the pandemic affect the growth and just the health of that sector?
Well, I think that the strong point we have, as we talked about, is that we're in the middle of the richest agricultural region in the world. And so we're certainly, as Michael pointed out, going to lose a bunch of our comrades, right, in this time. But we think that the demand is going to be just as strong. And so when the time comes that everyone's able to come back out, then we're going to be able to use, I think that we're just going to be able to pick up and keep running. And because we have this place where we are the farm to fork capital, and while the farm to fork capital is a marketing slogan and program, it also is real, right? This is really where you come. Ginger comes to make her chocolates here because she knows the farmers that she can buy the raspberries from, because she knows where the peaches are coming from to get her macaron. And because that's gonna stay the same, that's gonna serve us well as we come back to do what we do best, which is in hospitality, provide comfort and welcome to our guests.
Mike, 7 months into this pandemic, I'm just curious, based on all of the things that Visit Sacramento is involved in, how have things played out differently than you expected?
Well, I think everything that we had planned that we do as an organization was unfortunately canceled, whether that's small meetings, Farm to Fork Festival, Tower Bridge Dinner, Aftershock Music Festival. So for us, you know, and Patrick, you know, brought up a great point here. You know, what will change? I think a lot of us don't know. What won't change is we will continue to be a rich agricultural region. We will continue to be the farm to fork capital. So for us, you know, what I've been telling colleagues and partners is we're paused right now, but it's not done. It's just paused. And when we pick up again, you look at what we have on the calendar for 2021, whether it's an Ironman competition or adding a fourth day to Aftershock, there are good things ahead. You look at the calendar for conventions in the new convention center. It is packed in 2021. What that looks like at the beginning of the year, I don't know. But there is a lot to be hopeful for as we look ahead. And you know, these past 6 months have been difficult for everybody. And they will continue to be, it looks like, for the near future, but it won't last forever. And you know, someone told me the other day that what followed the flu in 1919 was the Roaring Twenties. So hopefully we have that to look forward to in Sacramento as well.
That is an optimistic point in history. I'm curious, Michael, the fact that downtown seems to be ground zero for all of the issues that the nation is facing, related to everything from COVID-19 to the uprisings and the protests and all of that, to homelessness. How are those issues in how downtown seems to be the gathering place for those particular issues to present themselves, affecting downtown's ability to recover?
Well, you know, we had a conversation a couple weeks ago that, you know, we've had COVID, we've had some of the social protests, we've had fires. I mean, at this point, you know, a flood, and we're about to build an ark down here.
Just worry about it if we have locusts.
Yeah. But, you know, we're about perception. I mean, people need to feel good about the experience of coming downtown. And, you know, homelessness in general is something that any, you know, urban center is working through. I mean, the cause and nature of homelessness is impacting urban centers across the U.S. And so, I mean, on the human side, it's pretty devastating when you really look at the amount of homelessness that we're seeing, the amount of resources available to support them. With the COVID issues, we've also had some reality of many of the jails needing to be depopulated. And so it's added to some environmental challenges for us. But we really need to continue to manage the environment. We need to take care. And you saw in New York, group of over 150 CEOs communicated to Mayor de Blasio that said, you know what, we're going to start bringing people downtown and back downtown. And we're already seeing that post Labor Day. We've seen almost a 15% increase in people starting to return to their offices. And so if there's a reality for us and people are going to be coming downtown, we've got to make sure that we are managing the social environment downtown to make people feel good about the experience. It's one thing to work here, but it's another to say, you know what, our restaurants are open, come down, feel good, and support our local business. And so managing the social challenges and environment, cleaning the streets, should be at the top of our list in order to prepare ourselves to welcome people back.
So,
and the challenge,
I'll go
the
ahead.
Challenge
go ahead,
Scott, too, is that we're worried for sure about our businesses making it, which means the 37 people that I was able to bring back to employ, which means the 50 farms that we source from, which means all our distributors and suppliers. So it's a really big. Michael's right, right? Everyone has to feel comfortable and come back. But it's important for people to know that it's not just Patrick Mulvaney or Ginger Han. It's everybody, right? There are so many people that are infected by the potential of a lot of us in the hospitality business not being able to make it till tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. What else, Patrick, from your perspective, can government do at this point to help and be supportive? So that way, not only your businesses, but those 37 people have the best chance to make a full recovery.
Well, one thing the governor did with his Great Plates Delivered meal program really helps, right? Fed over 6 million meals to seniors throughout the state over the last 15 weeks. In Sacramento, that means probably about 40 restaurants have been able to stay open every week as a result. We're hoping that that's going to continue out throughout the new year. We're excited about that. And then from Washington, D.C., if the House and the Senate and the President can get together on a larger relief bill, there's a part of it called the Restaurants Act. And it's $120 billion for grants to go to restaurants. And again, the money, while the money may come to the individual restaurants, in the best of times, 95 cents of every dollar you spend in a restaurant goes out to someone else. And likewise, that grant money will go to the employees, the farmers, the distributors. And so we'll be able to keep the economy, the pipes of the economy open while we're rebuilding the economy at the same time. And that will lead us to a better tomorrow.
Ginger, I want to come back to something you said a couple of minutes ago regarding how business went up. What do you think it says that... Your business actually increased with the onset of the pandemic. What is that revealing about us as the population that patronizes your business? What's going on in here?
Well, I think it's all humans right now. people want some comfort, and we'd never closed down because we are a to-go food. We just changed our procedure slightly, and so it's much easier for people to pre-order online, and we changed some ways that we did business through technology, and found out that people love that, and so that's one really big way. But I mean, so social media for me has been really big, getting the word out about all of the pivots that we've made constantly. I'm starting to hate that word pivot. Because it's just like, it's been a whirlwind. I just think everyone's just wanted a little bit of comfort, even if it's just one little chocolate. It's, you know, I think it's making people happy right now. So.
Okay. And Mike, give us kind of a preview, 24, 36 months out from now. How is downtown Sacramento the experience that people are going to have, and what is amenities are going to be available? How's it going to be different?
Well, I think if you just rewind a little bit pre-pandemic, the hotels in downtown Sacramento were at about 84-85% full. Currently, they're about 20% full. So night and day there. But part of what was driving that was the amenities that are downtown, whether it's the activity of the Golden One Center, all the restaurants. You add into that a new convention center. You add in that new hotels. You will have more people downtown. So you said earlier that my look on this was optimistic, and it is. It's been a really hard 6 months, and it's really easy to say the glass is half empty or half full or been thrown and shattered on the ground. But I think when you look ahead, it is undeniable to see the place that Sacramento was pre-pandemic, that we're going to get there again. The good news is we don't have to rebuild this from the ground up. We've made so much progress on the work that we were doing. And there are obviously a lot of issues outside of COVID-19 that need to be addressed. But the trajectory of Sacramento will continue, and new amenities will be added, whether that's hotels or restaurants or other attractions. So I am optimistic about our future. I was excited where we were going, and I still am.
And I think we'll leave it there.
Scott, one last word.
Go ahead.
One thing I wanted to communicate, and Mike hit it exactly, we are an economic engine downtown. For anybody that questions the importance of continuing to invest in downtown, our restaurants, our small businesses, we generate downtown almost 40% of this region, of this city's property tax in the downtown core, and we need to continue to invest and support these businesses down here.
And we'll leave it there. And that's our show. Thanks to our guests, and thanks to you for watching Studio Sacramento. I'm Scott Syphax. See you next time, right here on KVIE.
Thank you for listening to Studio Sacramento from KVIE Public Television. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a review on iTunes to help others find it.
All episodes of Studio Sacramento, along with other KVIE programs, are available to watch online at kvie.org/video.